Happy New Year and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. Daryl has now found his way to London, but is still unable to broadcast, so for this week, it's just Taylor in studio. But what a week it is as the show turns 21. So to celebrate, I very selfishly elected to do a Manchester United-centric program. So it'll be conversations about the Champions League, the Premiership, and the club's somewhat ridiculous debt rate. But first, some more loud music. So a few weeks ago, the Champions League knockout round draw was held. Somehow, against all possible opposition, Manchester United, my beloved Manchester United, managed to draw AC Milan. AC Milan doing decent in the Serie A this year. They struggled for a little while. Now they're coming back a little bit. But I was curious as to, you know, what other people might think about this draw. I myself was pretty okay with it, but you know, you never know what other people are going to think. So I called up my buddy Daniel, who's a diehard AC Milan fan, to see what he thought about it. All right, so Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Excited about the upcoming Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. So, what were your thoughts about that one? Was that an ideal draw for you, or were you hoping for somebody else?
No, I mean, it's not ideal from a progressing in the tournament standpoint, but I think it is pretty much conclusive proof that the Champions League draw is completely rigged.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty surprised because like Beckham came out and said his ideal draw was Manchester United because he wanted to go back.
Yeah.
Obviously, he just got loaned to AC Milan, and now, sure enough, he gets him. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I think that's a pretty minor. People are going to make that into the big story because he's Beckham and you know he hasn't played at Man U, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't really think, from like a soccer standpoint, he's going to have that big of an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, if he did somehow either cause Milan to lose or even greater somehow win the game, like say Milan goes through on a Beckham free kick, I don't see how it wouldn't go down as one of the biggest games of all time because it's just the storyline, and Manchester United fans would just be throwing themselves off of cliffs across the world.
Yeah, I would definitely not be particularly thrilled about that one. But for those unfamiliar, obviously AC Milan playing in Italy, doing actually pretty well at the moment. What's been your take on the season thus far?
Well, I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with Serie A just not being quite as good, especially Juventus, who everyone thought was going to be the second kind of challenger. I still think by the end of the season they'll be second, at third at worst. But I don't know. I mean, the thing about Milan is they're just not really that good. They've tied a lot of games. They win a lot of really close games. And they're just really shaky. They don't have, like, a game plan. They just sort of, like, rely on, you know, people stepping up and just making some weird, like, the other day, Boreal had, like, a scissor kick on his own off some terrible cross they scored on. Like, they don't have a plan. They just sort of wing it. And that's why they're not going to come close to beating Inter. But they're still good enough where they can be second in Serie A. So what that says about Italy is...
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the old saying? It's like a champion finds a way to win. Like, maybe they're not pretty wins, but, you know, I mean, at least they're winning.
Well, I think that tends to be more what teams that are like juggernauts and just dispatch every team they play, and then, you know, every 9 games they win 1-0 against some struggling team. They're like, well, you can't win them all pretty, but I think Milan's more of like in a, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess there is something to say for winning games, so
yeah,
at some level they're getting it done.
Yeah, no, and then there was a lot of criticism early on. I'm not sure how much it's dissipated since, but a lot of criticism towards your new coach, Leonardo. He's the Brazilian. He's a pretty famed player, and he came in. He's fairly young, fairly inexperienced, and people weren't entirely sure what to make of him, and I guess now they're still not entirely sure what to make of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, they talk about all the time the Guardiola or whatever Pep's name.
Pep Guardiola of Barcelona.
Yeah, the Barcelona's coach that was real young came in, won Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
So AC Milan and Juventus did the same thing. They hired former players that were really young. You know, Leonardo's kind of a dashing guy. He knows like 5 or 6 languages.
Yeah.
People thought he could get the best out of the Brazilian players because, you know, he's Brazilian. And, I mean, he drew a lot of criticism at first because he, you know, they were suffering a little bit. But first off, Milan made like no real improvements. They lost their best player, and Ancelotti, like him or not, is one of the, in my opinion, you know, 3 or 4 best coaches on the planet and probably the best Champions League coach. So, I mean, you couldn't really expect there to be, like, no rough transition, especially because he's with an older team. It's probably hard for him to, you know, because he played with some of these guys, I think.
Yeah.
So, But because they lost 4-0 to Inter at the beginning of the season, and then people were starting to freak out. But I think progressing in the Champions League, unlike Juventus, and you know, being second going into it, barring some catastrophe, I think he'll keep his job for at least this year. But that, he needs time.
Yeah, I got to say, I actually attended the AC Milan-Chelsea game this summer in Baltimore, and I actually happened to meet Leonardo afterwards, and I asked him a question. He didn't really, I don't think he understood a word I said, but he just kind of smiled and laughed and winked at me. And I got him, I was kind of charmed, I'm not going to lie. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, he's got the charm. He's got that suave, you know, debonair style. Maybe he can hold on to his job.
Well, that's the thing. Moron doesn't care about winning games. They just, they want to bring in, like, fashion icons and, you know, people that sell jerseys because it's an empire. It's not just a team. But
do you also want to have an owner who gets punched in the face? Is that fun for you?
Okay. You know, he's, like, the most popular person in Italy, and he, like, periodically gets attacked because, by all accounts, he seems like a pretty sleazy guy. But I guess, from the other side, if I wasn't a Milan fan, I would think he was a jackass. But being a Milan fan, I just think it's hilarious. And he's one of the better, like, you know, just he's done so much and he's crazy and he runs the country. It's just the story is too good for me. And you know what? If he gets attacked by, statues of the Duomo from time to time, then that's the price that we pay for elite ownership.
Yeah, we're speaking about Italian Prime Minister and also AC Milan owner Silvio Berlusconi, who was attacked recently. I gotta say, Briscoe, I think that's a key sign that you are like a true AC Milan homer. If you're really that willing to defend Silvio Berlusconi, then I think that says something about who you are as a person.
He's a president.
So we talked about the coach, we talked about the owner. How are you feeling about the team going up against Manchester United? Obviously, the Red Devils aren't looking as strong as they have in the past. Do you feel fairly confident, somewhat confident? Are you mocking our defensive problems? Because we have injuries, sir.
Yeah. Playing. Here's a tip. The next time all your defenders are hurt, try playing more than three when you play a team.
Dude, we're just trying stuff out, man. I don't need this criticism from you.
I would say, not too somewhat confident about this game.
Really?
I think that there's a minor chance that Milan progresses. Because I really think that, on the one hand, there's the fact that, you know, Milan realistically has no chance of winning Serie A, no matter what anyone says, because Inter's just too good to build for the league. So they might be thinking, you know, going in through in the Champions League is one thing we can do. And maybe they put together some games. I don't know. I just really think that, first off, on paper and in reality, Man U's a better team. I think Rooney is the best player on either team. He's going to be the best player that Milan has played so far this season, with the exception of, you know, kind of some of the players on Madrid, but, like, Cristiano Ronaldo was out. But I don't know. For me, I think, like, the key matchup is going to be if AC Milan's defense can do anything about Rooney. I think it's, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, whether or not Ronaldinho plays well, and obviously that's important, but I just don't think, I don't know, and I have to mention, I feel like Manchester United is a little bit motivated by the last time they played Milan.
Ooh, yeah, a little bit.
Shellacked,
really? We beat you at home. We may have lost, you know, maybe it was bad. I don't remember. I don't remember the second leg. I remember the first leg where we won in the last couple minutes. I don't remember what happened after that.
Brilliant individual performances in the game ever. I was reading online, a forum earlier about a Manchester United forum where they were talking about their opinions on these games. And they're all just like, oh, we play like such prettier football in that game. They're talking about the one where Kaká, like, I think it was 2 years ago where Kaká destroyed them. They're talking about how Juan didn't play a pretty game. I don't know if you remember, but do you remember when Kaká headed the ball between two players and they made them run into each other?
No, I don't recall that. No.
Yeah. Well, that was. I mean, I guess that was ugly if you're a Manchester United fan. I don't know. But as far as this year, I mean, let's say facts. Milan wasn't in the Champions League last year, and Manchester United was in the finals. Not a whole lot. They both lost their best players, although Kaká was probably getting towards the downswing of his career.
Uh-huh.
Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that Milan progresses.
So you have no real faith? What results do you see?
I mean, I wouldn't be stunned if you know, Manchester United lost, and obviously I would be overjoyed, but at the same time, Milan's just served up so much heartache in the last 2 or 3 years that it's really tough to be too optimistic. But You know, I think they'll both be pretty low scoring. Milan's goal differential is like six or something. They don't like score a lot. I don't know. I kind of think it'll be like a draw or a 1-0 win or something like that, the San Siro in the first leg. And then I think at Old Trafford, Milan could lose. But the thing is, Milan's defense, like, they're just not that good. Like, they struggle against these teams, and they somehow win, and people are just like, oh, well, they won. Like, good for them. But they're, you know, they're winning against, like, Lazio, and they're barely winning. I just can't, for the life of me, see them going into Manchester United and doing anything. Although, I guess there is some sort of mystique, maybe, that they have in the Champions League. I don't even know.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. That's quite a reverse jinx from Daniel Briscoe. That's well done. I can hear. I know those things. I'm familiar with them. All right.
I'd like to be made to look like a fool.
Yeah. Uh huh. So if you're not entirely excited about AC Milan, the AC Milan Manchester United draw, you've also got who else? We got Stuttgart versus Barcelona. That's a pretty good one. Olympiacos, Bordeaux, Inter Milan and Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Fiorentina, CSKA Moscow and Sevilla, Lyon, Real Madrid, and Porto and Arsenal. Any ties in there you fancy?
I mean, I don't know. There's just, I think it's, like we were talking about earlier, I think it's pretty ridiculous that, you know, Chelsea and Madrid found each other and Milan.
Wait, you mean Chelsea and what? Inter? Chelsea and Inter?
I'm sorry. You know, like the storyline thing, and then you've got these other games. Although it's just the nature. When you have teams like Fiorentina going through, I mean, you can expect those teams to lose. Fiorentina, Porto, Moscow, I think they'll all be out.
Yeah.
Or wait, who's Moscow playing?
Sevilla.
See, this is like, I love the Champions League because I love how it puts the, you know, the best teams. But let's be realistic. Barcelona, Chelsea, Man U, maybe Inter, maybe Madrid are the only teams that have a chance of winning this tournament. So, like, for a tie to be particularly compelling, I mean, they could be good games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Stuttgart-Barcelona might be an interesting game, but do you really think, like, that they're going to have trouble? I mean, I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with everything other than the two premier draws, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy. I'm just happy. It doesn't, for me, I'd love to see United win. I'd love to see United progress and do well in the tournament. I think they will, but right now I'm just happy because Liverpool are out. That's really what I need to make me happy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I thought for a while Inter might not qualify because they're awful.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything in the Champions League. I mean, I say that they have a chance to win because, you know, they're so talented and so good in the league, but goodness, they're just, I mean, they were awful. They were like in last or something in the tournament. And in their group, courtesy of Andriy Shevchenko's goal, of course.
Really? You got to throw that in there, too. Briscoe is a huge Andriy Shevchenko fan since his early days at AC Milan, not his second stint.
Perhaps the best forward of the decade since, you know, we are approaching the end of the decade.
That's a bold statement. Really, you think Shevchenko on top of anybody else?
No, but, well, I do. But I realize that, you know, it may be difficult to convert others to my message.
I didn't realize you were a prophet, too. That's outstanding.
If he hadn't left, maybe he'd be in consideration. Although, you got to think something must have been wrong with him. You don't just go from being the best player in the world to terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he had some, like, pretty tight friends over there, too, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, you know, he was – I don't know. There's a whole thing about his – my friends always were like, oh, well, you know, the whole deal about his wife making him move or whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty disappointing. I don't know. He was there for a long time, but a lot of his friends, you know, are starting to leave or get older. I don't know. I think he chose the right time to go on, but, I mean, can you think of another, since you've been paying attention to soccer, a more disappointing, like, transfer than that? I mean, obviously there's been people that, you know, went for a lot of money that didn't pan out, but he seemed like such a sure thing, was going to a good team, and just was terrible. What do you think?
I'm trying to think. Let me think. I mean, Ronaldinho was pretty depressing because I remember a lot of my AC Milan fans thought he was going to be amazing at Milan, and I'm sure you thought the same thing, and then he showed up like 80 pounds overweight.
Wait, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Ronaldo?
No, Ronaldinho.
Oh, Ronaldinho. Oh. Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I see what you're saying. Like, even then, like, he was sort of, it looked like he had some attitude problems. It looked like he was a little bit questionable fitness-wise. You're right, Shevchenko kind of left and in his prime. I mean, I guess you could say it would be the equivalent of, like, Ronaldo leaving for Madrid and then, you know, being terrible at Madrid. It was kind of the same thing,
right.
Only, you know, Ronaldo's doing fine. Shevchenko didn't.
Well, I have to say, did the thing about Ronaldinho that people don't talk about is, like, you know all that stuff about how he has, like, a kid with a stripper back in Brazil, and he's like gone on record just saying, I can't worry about that right now. Like, I have to focus on football. And everyone was just like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. and then, like, I read a story, because I read about the Italian league more than anything else. I read a story about how he was at a club in Milan and at like 4 a.m. on a Tuesday night or something like that, and a bunch of fans were there and, like, forcibly made him leave and go home because they, like, he had no business being out at the club. But, I mean, what does that say when like, fans – I mean, you got to think the average person at a club, you know, at 4 a.m. probably isn't, like, that, you know, responsible. Or, I mean, he has to be really, like, just – I don't know. But
yeah.
People are like, oh, it's Ronaldinho. Like, he's such a – ugly sky, but
it's
so good. I don't know.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit. Maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but it kind of reminds me of, like, Boston fans with Big Poppy this season, where it's all of a sudden baseball starts really rigorously testing for performance enhancing drugs, and all of a sudden he can't hit anymore, and everyone just kind of turns a blind eye, and they're like, oh, he's lovable, and he's got weird teeth, and he's 900 pounds, and kind of look the other way on that one. I feel like the same way a little bit with Dino.
Well, I mean, I guess that's just part of the passion you get. And then there's people like, do you remember a couple years ago when Bellamy, like,
beat Risa,
choking a 15-year-old girl or something when she asked for his autograph, and it was the second time he had done that? And, like, he went to jail or something, and Bellamy, like, is still playing, and, like, I think he's one of the better players for City. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about the same Craig Bellamy who got into a drunken altercation with his then-teammate, Gianna Risa, and allegedly assaulted him with a golf club. Again, over karaoke.
Oh, right.
I feel like alcohol may have been involved there.
These are just some, like, hard-partying just guys that happen to be good at soccer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you just can't expect the good soccer players to all be perfect people like Andriy Shevchenko. But, you know, sometimes you got to go upside your teammate's head with a golf club.
I think on that one we'll call it there. But well said from Daniel Briscoe. So for all of you out there with bad teammates, just remember, beat them with a golf club, they'll get in line.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thanks, Daniel, for coming on. Appreciate it. And before I let you go, so do you want to make any kind of wager on this one?
Like money or something ridiculous or what?
I mean, I don't know. What are you in the mood for? My thought at first was that if United go through, I get a photo of you wearing a United jersey, and vice versa, I'll wear a Milan jersey. But I don't know if that's embarrassing enough.
Well, I think maybe we could do that, but it's got to be like maybe just the jersey, you know, like a dress kind of cut, a little scandalous. I don't get people who are like, I can't wear my rival team's jersey, like, it'll burn my skin. I mean,
all right, then I would just like you to visibly sport for an entire night a fake tattoo that says, I love Wayne Rooney. Just, like, on your arm.
Wow.
That's what I want.
Okay. And yours has to say, I love Shevchenko.
Even though he's not on AC Milan anymore. That's the bet we're going to make. I have to root for a player that's not even on your team.
Well, I mean, I think we can both agree he'll be there on the field in spirit.
All right, fair enough. So if United go through, you have to go out for an entire night with Rooney's name tattooed on your arm. And if Milan go through, then I'll write Shevchenko on my arm or in tiny fine point pen.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, thanks again, Briscoe, and I guess we'll talk to you soon.
All right, great.
All right, buddy.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor
on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
So, obviously, I'm a Manchester United fan, and that's a statement that usually doesn't bring a whole lot of grief. The club have won the Premiership the past three seasons. They won the Champions League in 2008, making them the best team in Europe. And they're generally regarded as one of the best teams on the planet. And yet this season, at least in my opinion, it's been of a bit of a topsy-turvy campaign for the Red Devils. They're in second place in the Premiership, which obviously isn't too bad. I mean, you know, Liverpool are in seventh, so I guess they can probably complain more than I can. But Manchester United's performances definitely still leave a little bit to be desired. They struggled to find their form in the Premiership, questions loom about the future of some of their big-name players, and most recently they were humiliatingly ousted from the FA Cup by Leeds United, a team that is one of their hated rivals and a full two divisions below them in England, not someone that you expect them to lose to, especially not at home.
So obviously, I'm a little frustrated with my boys. So I called up my buddy Crump to get his feelings on the campaign thus far and see if I'm alone in my crybaby state. He's a diehard United fan and a second-year law student. Is that correct?
I'm second year, halfway done.
Oh, wow, man. Well, congratulations. But more important right now, I think, is the state of Manchester United. How are you feeling about the season thus far?
Trepidation.
That's a lawyer word right there.
Yeah, it is. I figured I'd try and live up to your glowing endorsement. No, you know, every inclination I have is just kind of wait and see. And, you know, even if it's a lost year, whatever, so be it. Still, you know, if we finish, you know, second in the league, not, you know, terrible, because that still puts us in the Champions League next year. It's not like we're having a Milan year where we drop completely out of the top four.
Yeah.
A Liverpool year, you know, watching them fall make our, you know, injury plight that much more bearable.
Yeah, Liverpool are currently, we're like around 20 games through the season. Liverpool are seventh. Manchester United are second, but they've played one more game than Arsenal, so it's kind of up in the air.
Yeah, got a game in hand.
But it's been kind of the story of the season. We talked about a little bit last week that it's been really wide open, and like I don't know, I'm fairly surprised by that, because it's usually, you know, like one or two teams run away with it there, and it seems like everyone's got a chance this year, I guess.
Well, you know, there's definitely been more parity, I feel like, in the league this year, and you know, just like, man, our loss to Fulham, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, the 3-0 loss.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to toss that away, because what did we start, like Carrick and Fletcher and maybe ever might have been in the fold, but you know, like with like that kind of a makeshift three-man back line, but we should still be able to put a goal in.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about, because I'm of mixed emotion on this one, that at this point they're okay, but we've had, you know, like what, 47,000 injuries this season, like everyone's been injured at some point, and yet the manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, still isn't signing anybody. We're in the January transfer window now, where he could be. Do you think we should be bringing people in, or are you okay with the way things are?
Yes, of course we should be bringing people in. Why the hell not? We have this huge, you know, sum of money that we got from Ronaldo. Why aren't we spending it?
Yeah, I think some people say that's because of the debt that they've accrued over this season.
They can deal with that debt. I mean, I guess if you want to look at it, you know, from a purely financial perspective, then there wouldn't be a lot of winning football being played at United for the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely been this weird season where it's like, I just don't think, you know, you look at, like, the team in years past, like, everybody knows Ronaldo and Rooney and those names, but it seems like this year there's no one that Ferguson really, like, seems to have a lot of faith in that's really going to step up and lead the team. I mean, you have, like, Ryan Giggs, who's, what, like, 36 now, but there's no real, like, I don't know if you have that big name, that playmaker that people can kind of rally behind. Like, you haven't seen much from, like, Dimitar Berbatov is supposed to be one of the best strikers in the world. He's been okay at times, but at times he looks woeful. Michael Owen, who, you know, I don't think there was much expected of him, but he certainly had some expectations, and he hadn't done anything. So I don't really know what's going on.
Hat-trick against Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I mean, he did get a hat-trick against Wolfsburg in the Champions League.
His production in the Premier League hasn't really, you know, even for a free signing,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of thought that he would be a little bit more of a contributor than he has been.
I don't know. Again, I feel like a fair-weather fan, but it's kind of like, I don't feel like there's any players that, like, they're, you can really rally behind. Like I said, you know, you have Giggs, you have your Roonies, but there's no one player that you're going to look to really carry the team. And I feel like until you get that player in place, you may not see much from United this season. Although, I guess, as you said, we shouldn't really complain about a team that's going to finish second or third, when I'm sure there are a lot of teams that would be very happy to finish second or third in the EPL.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, you pointed it out. We're missing that, and I hate to use this term because it's so cliche, but we're missing our talisman. And mm-hmm. I think we need that creativity from the midfield, that one player who can really make things happen.
All right, so if our listeners who are just happen to be Manchester United fans are looking for some reason to still be optimistic about the season, can you give them one thing that you're still excited about when you watch United?
Oh, goodness.
No particular player that you've been impressed by? No bright spot for the future?
It would be great if Rooney, you know, took the goal-scoring title in the league. But mm-hmm. if we want, obviously, I'd love it for us to win the league. But there's no one guy that I'm just super excited to see something special from. I think, you know, Berba has shown that he's a capable player, but certainly not a superstar for United. I just don't think we're going to see the kind of production from him that we thought 30 million pounds ago.
Yeah. So right now, as we said, United in second place. If you were putting money down, who are you going to be betting on?
Oh, it's Chelsea. even though, you know, they have given us every opportunity to overtake them in the past couple of weeks, and we have politely declined. And
that's a nice way of putting it.
It seems like Ancelotti's got them going in the right direction, and, you know, the strength of their team, even with the African Cup of Nations coming up, I don't know, it seems like they've always made it through that problem every year without too much of a loss in points, and I think he's got them primed for the long haul, and I think their players are kind of, you know, Terry and Lampard, they're not young anymore, and they kind of realize this is an important season for them, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a run at the Champions League either.
So I guess we've come full circle because we spoke with Briscoe about the Champions League. Now we're back on that one. And so I guess to close out, I'll ask you, so if you're picking a team to win the Champions League, are you going to say Chelsea, or are you going to go the trendy route and say Barcelona?
Last year I might have taken Barca. Mm-hmm. This year I'd take Field.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like their results have dropped off a little bit? I mean, I don't watch a ton of La Liga, but the games I have seen, who did they lost this week to, who was it? They lost, you know, 1-0 or 2-1 to someone this week, and they don't have that air of invincibility, I don't feel, that they had a year ago.
Yeah, they lost to Sevilla, 2-1.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, they're not exactly a terrible team.
No, but and then before that, they drew with Villarreal, who are struggling in the league. So, yeah, I guess you may be right, so who knows. So the Champions League's wide open, the EPL's wide open. Crump, thanks for taking a second away from Louisville to talk to us, and I'll call you back when United's winning so that we can both pretend like this conversation never happened.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, and speak to you soon.
All right.
All right, Robbie. Bye. Later, bud. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Total Football Soccer Show. I'm sure by now most of you are pretty tired of hearing people discuss a club like Manchester United, so I promise next week we'll bring you something a little different. That's a discussion of the Russian Premier League and Russia's status in the global soccer community. So until then, have a great week, and I expect all of you to be pulling for Manchester United this weekend.